Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. We missed last week because it was Tiny's Esther. Someone reached out to me and she said, wishing a Freilich and Purim. I miss Shir. I miss having Shir this evening. Feels like a long time and we missed. So welcome back, everybody. Tonight's Shir is generously sponsored by my dear friend and learning partner, Dina Plout and family, in memory of Mrs. Rose Raisel Konigsberg, whose yahrzeit is the 20th of Adar. Dina wrote, a Holocaust survival, Raisel was a woman of great strength. Her personality and intelligent way of compensating for her hardships and handicap overrode any feelings of self-pity. Most people had no idea that she was blind in one eye due to a beating from a Nazi soldier in Auschwitz. She always told her family, when I was in the war, I said to Hashem, if you let me survive, I will do everything I can to keep your Torah. And so it was. Raisel Bas Shmuel Shmelka leaves behind a legacy of tznius, chesed, awe and reverence for Talmidei Chachamim, a well-used siddur and Sefer Tehillim, and most of all, Doros Yusharim of children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Her neshama should have an aliyah in the schus of the Torah learning that we share this evening, Lezecher Nishmasa and Le'ilui Nishmasa, Raisel Bas Shmuel Shmelka, on the occasion of her yahrzeit 20th Adar. So we are going to continue our Pirkei Avos learning. We're actually going back to the same mission that we learned last week. Last week, we did it in light of Esther Hamalka, and tonight, I want to do it in light of what the Mefarshim have to say on the Mishnah. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing with you. Oh, also, I see my mother-in-law is joining us this evening. So good evening, Ima, and welcome to our Shia. So I'm going to start screen sharing. Let me just, here we are. Okay, you could see my screen. Yeah, very good. Thank you so much. Let me move you up here. Okay, so we're in the Mishnah. We're still in the teachings of Hillel. I just have to tell you something exciting. Heads up. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we move on to look at the next Mishnah, Shammai Omer. So I think for the past couple months, we talked about Hillel's life and many of Hillel's teachings. And next week, we come up to the next Mishnah, which is Shammai Omer. So that will also be very exciting. But in the interim, we are still on Pirkei Avos, Perek Av, Mishnah Yud Daled. Again, we did do this last week, but we did it with the frame of reference of Esther, not last week, 2 weeks ago, the frame of reference of Esther Hamalka and rising to the occasion. Tonight, let's see what all the Mefarshim, various Mefarshim, have to say on the Mishnah. So, Hu Haya Omer, Hillel used to say, Im Ein Anili Mili, if I am not to myself, Mili, who will be for me? Ukusha Ani La'atzmi, if I'm only to myself, Ma Ani, what am I? V'im Lo Achshav, and if not now, Emasai, then when? So, we are going to begin in the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura here on the side of my screen, so that you could see it, this is where I prepare from. Okay, the Pirkei Avos with the Bar Tanura, but so that I'm putting it on the screen for you, here it is. Im ein ani li. So how do we understand this Mishnah? What are we talking about? Im ein ani zocha la'atzmi, mi yizkeh b'shvili. If I do not amass chusim for myself in life, if I do not live a life of Torah, if I do not live a life of mitzvot, if I do not lead a life of doing for others, of chesed, of yerushimayim, who will do for me? We can't depend on other people to amass chusim for ourselves. That's not why we're here. Every person is a tafkid, and every person has to say, what can I do to amass chusim? How can I help myself become a better person, a better Jew, a better Eved Hashem? So, im ein ani zocha la'atzmi, mi yizkeh b'shvili. If I do not amass chusim for myself and Eved Hashem, you think someone else is going to do it for you? They have their own problems to worry about. They have their own life to worry about. I have to work on my own self. Ukusha ani la'atzmi ma'ani. But if I am only to myself, then what am I? So the Bar Tanura says, va'afilu zachiti la'atzmi. Even if I do amass chusim for myself, ma'hu has chus hazeh. U'b'man nechshavu k'neged mash ani chayev la'asos. Even if I do a mass chusim for myself, and I work on myself, and I strive to be a better person, and do more chesed, and learn more Torah, and daven more properly, mahu es chus hazeh? Really, what is this merit that I've amassed? Ubeman nechshavu, and what is it considered when you think about masha nichayev lasos, when you think about how much a person has to accomplish in life, compared to perhaps how much time we waste and how much we don't accomplish of what we could, how much chusim do we really have? The Ribbono Shel Olam sets a high standard for all of us. You know, did you ever notice that on your iPhone, it tells you how much time you spent on your phone every day? So sometimes it's better not to look at that. It's a little frightening. When you see that, you think, oh my God, what could I have been doing with this time? It's very scary. If you never looked at it, on the one hand, don't. On the other hand, it's a big mussar. Afilu zachiti, that's me, even if I do get some credits for myself, mahu es chus is a, how much chusim do I already have? Ubuman nechshavu, and how much is it considered kenegan mashani chayiv lasos, really vis-a-vis how much I'm obligated to do, and how much I really can do, how much did I really do? V'imlo achshav, what does that mean, v'imlo achshav eimasai? V'imlo achshav means ba'olam hazeh. Doesn't mean necessarily at this exact moment I have to act, but imo achshav, achshav means while I'm in this world. So I must amass as many schusim and mitzvos and credit for myself in this world while I can. Why? Eimasai. If not now, when? What does eimasai mean? Because after death, it's impossible to have any more schusim. I can't do for myself anymore. And it's interesting that eimatai has the middle words, mate. Okay? The aleph perhaps stands for the ani, I. The may stands for after I die. And the W, look on my screen, stands for Shem Hashem. Look on my screen. Emasai. Aleph, we're talking about the ani in this world. Im ein ani li mili. Ukisha ani la atzmi ma ani. V'im lo achshav. If I don't act in this world, emasai. If you look at the word emasai, because the Bartanura says, if not now, when? When means what do you think? After Ptira, then you're going to amass chusim for yourself. So Aleph stands for the ani. I must work in this world. The Mem Tav stands for mate, because after I die, I can no longer work for myself. Because after I die, what letters are you left with? W Yud. I'm going to be standing in the Yeshiva Shamala before the Ribon Shel Olam, giving a din v'chashban. And I can no longer do for myself in the next world. So even in the word emasai, you really have a conclusion or a summation of everything that the Mishnah is teaching you. Aleph, ani, mate. We're all going to die, whether you like to think about it or not. Double yod, I'm going to be standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam, giving a din v'cheshbon. And then I'm not going to be able to look away from all those hours I spent on my iPhone. And they're going to put up at the screen, and I'm going to say, I don't want to see it, I'm so embarrassed. And they're going to say, well, you should have thought of that, aichshav, when you were in the Olam Hazeh, not eimatai, after the ani is mate, and standing double yod before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki achar hamaves i'efshar liskos od. And that's why we learn li'lui nishmas, by the way. Okay? We're learning li'lui nishmas, a rezo bashmul shmelko. What does that mean? The Niftaris can no longer amass chusim. As good as a person, and you're going to see it coming in the sources, we're going to quote from Avos de Rabbi Nassan shortly. As good as a person who is in this world, as much as a tzaddik or tzaddikas as they may be, and leave a doros yesharim and a legacy of tznius and chesed, it's an unbelievable accomplishment. But we all have to keep in mind that no matter how much we do, kshani la'atzmi, even if I have chusim, is it enough? We have to ask ourselves, is it enough? Because after, I cannot amass credits anymore. Perush achar, another explanation, says the Bartanur, im lo achshav b'yimei habacharut, if not now, bachur, if not now in my youth, emasai, when? Am I going to wait till the final decades of my life to finally say, oh, you know, now I think I should start to do teshuva. Now I should be a better person in the final decades of life. Shema b'yimei hazikna lo ya'ale liyadi. Another interpretation to emasai means in achshav, in the days of youth, because emasai, in the days of old age, perhaps I will not be able, whether because I've become old, infirm, incapacitated, chas v'shalom, sometimes we start to lose our memory in our old age, but Hashem should save us. So the Mishnah saying, says the Bartender, do it now when you're young, when you still have the full mental, emotional, physical, intellectual capabilities, because emasai b'yemei hazikna shemelo ya'ale liyadi. Perhaps in my old age, I will not be able to do anymore. So you have to do it now when you still can. So this is the Bartanura on this Mishnah. And now it reminded me, when I was preparing Shir, it reminded me very, very much of a teaching that I've quoted before. But it's always very powerful to me. Rabbi Binyamin Finkel, the son of the Mir Mashkiach of Arye Finkel. I'm quoting from a sefer called Portraits of Prayer by Rabbi Eliezer Abish. Rabbi Binyamin Finkel, and you may have heard me say this before, and I find it extremely powerful, and it relates to this Mishnah. Rabbi Binyamin Finkel, the son of the Mir Mashkiach of Arye Finkel, popularly referred to as Rabbi Binyamin Atzadik, pointed out the Yetzer Hara is just a two-trick pony. He really only has two tricks, two methods that he employs. when he sees someone has decided to learn a little more each day, or you have decided to work on improving your character traits, tikkun amidos, or you want to attend another shul, you know, tackle, you don't make time, so even though women are chayiv to be koveya itim, we are mechuyav to have a connection to God, to have a connection to Torah. It influences us as a person, it influences the whole aura in our home. So when someone does not learn, how can you maintain a connection? You know the old adage, it's either an escalator, you're going up or you're going down. There's no such thing as avodas Hashem, you're staying right in the middle. I'm sure we've all heard that a couple months ago. I heard Rabbi Zev Leff even tell it over in a shir. So now you really decide you want to go up. You're going to start improving a character trait. You're going to learn a little more each day. Along comes the Yetzer Hara. What are you making yourself crazy about? You're still young. This exactly ties into the pshat of the Bar Tanura we just saw in the Mishnah. Im lo achshav b'imei habacharu, when you're young, when you're a bachur or a bachura. Because in the days of Zikna, you might not be able to anymore. Along comes the Yetzer, he says, what are you making yourself crazy? You're still young. You have your whole life ahead of you. No need to get caught up with all these things at your young age. Of course, learning is important. Of course, tikkun amidus is important. But when you're older, now you have plenty of time in life left to worry about things. Now, about those things. Now you should enjoy. That's the standard refrain of the Yetzer Hara. Then one day, suddenly, it changes. You decide to embark finally on some course of improvement. And sure enough, right along comes the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara. This time, however, his message is different. Now you decide to work on improving your character traits, on tikkun amidos. Now you decide to complete a tractate of Gemara. Now at your age, you're going to start going to a weekly shir? Don't be foolish. It's too late. You missed the boat. Maybe when you were in seminary, you should have learned. Maybe in high school. Maybe in your 20s. Now you're going to learn. You're too old to accomplish anything like that. This, teaches what Binyamin Finkel, is his entire ploy. The first decades of life, he tells you, you're too young. You have plenty of time to accomplish. No need to rush. All in due time. And one day, his story changes. His battle changes. Now you're too old. It's too late to change. Nobody knows exactly when this happens. The switch from you're still young. You have plenty of time. Enjoy life now. Worry about improving later. When it switches to you're too old already, it's too late to begin working on such projects. And this is what the Bar Tanura, I know I took it off the screen, so I'm just going to open up my sefer to quote it properly. That's what the final pshat of the Bar Tanura is. Im lo achshav emasai. Im lo achshav means b'yemei habacharut, when you're a young woman, a young man. Emasai, because shema b'yemei hazikna lo ya'alev yadi, for various reasons, the way human beings work, in the time of old age, we might not have the opportunity. So when the Yetzer Hara comes along and says, you're too young, and then he comes along and he says, you're too old, we have to grab whatever opportunity we can, whatever decade and whatever age we are. We're never too young, and we're never too old, but the optimal time is achshav, because as time passes in life, it may become, the reality of life is that it may become harder. So grab the opportunity while you still can to work on self-improvement and whatever it is you want to accomplish. This is, I wanted to quote one more thing. So from Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadiv Kadosh Livracha. So two short teachings from Rav Steinman that always make an impact on me. A grandson once asked Rav Aaron Leib Zatzal, since you learned in several different yeshivas in Brisk and elsewhere, and you learned with Rav Simcha Zelig Rigor, who do you consider your primary Rebbe? Rav Aaron Leib sighed deeply. Unfortunately, he said, for me, my primary Rebbe is the Yetzer Hara, but I'm always trying to get rid of him. That's one. And second teaching, the point of having a Musar Seder of Aaron Leib, once taught his Talmidim, is to allow time for brief introspection. We have to know where we are on the page of Avodas Hashem. Im ein ani li, like we saw in the Bar Tanura, if I don't amass zechusim for myself, mili, who's going to amass chusim for me? Im lo achshav ematai, if not now, but olam haza, ematai, because after you die, aleph is the ani, mate, you're going to die, double yod, you're going to stand before Hashem. Who's going to amass chusim for you? Nobody. You don't do it in your life. You can't do it after. What is my purpose in this world, said Rav Aaron Leib. This is the purpose of having a Musar Seder. And what specifically do I need to rectify? This should not take, says Rav Aaron Leib, more than 5 minutes a day. So for someone on Rav Aaron Leib's level, it's hard to even imagine he did any musar. Someone on his level, he says, it should take 5 minutes a day. The reason half an hour is allocated daily is because it takes a bit of time to get in the proper frame of mind for introspection. I believe he means in a yeshiva where they have a musarvat. It's not necessary to set aside an hour to achieve a 5 minute goal. So it depends on what level you are and how much musar you feel you need for tikkun amidos and cheshbon and nefesh. But another time, a bachur asked Rav Aaron Leib to recommend a musar sefer that would help him improve his midos. Rav Aaron Leib said to this Talmud, do you think I have a classified Musar Sefer that the Yetzer Hara doesn't know about? It doesn't matter which Musar Sefer you learn from. The main thing is you have to have a serious desire to improve your midos. If you try and improve, you will be able to outflank the Yetzer Hara. So again, we can do it. The Ribono Shel Olam wants us to do it. But we have the tools. Im ein ani li mili. If you do not amass chusim for yourself, when you're in this world, who is going to amass chusim for you? Keep in mind that as many chusim as we amass, we should never sit back and be complacent and think we did enough. Im lo achshav, like we already explained, emasai. Now I'm going to go to the Avos de Rabbi Nasan. Okay. So just as it's actually my first time teaching from the Sefer, I think, Lenita. I don't know why. One of my kids, actually, there's an inscription in front, and I sat down to prepare Mother's Day 2017. Okay, so Baruch Shachran B'kim Manu. Part of it is I always found it confusing to find the source related to the Mishnah, but for this year, Baruch Shem, I finally figured it out. Okay, what is Avos de Rabbi Nasan? You may hear it quoted. Avos de Rabbi Nasan says this, like me. Avos de Rabbi Nasan says that. Okay. Avos de Rabbi Nasan is a collection of brisos that, in the main, parallel, amplify, and elaborate many of the themes in Pirkei Avos. Again, Avos de Rabbi Nasan is a collection of brisos that, in the main, parallel, amplify, and elaborate on the themes and teachings in Pirkei Avos. With its slight change of expression, different formulations, and additional material. So in Avos de Rabbi Nasan, we have a slight change of expression, different formulation, and additional material. It opens up new vistas in understanding well-known teachings of Pirkei Avos. Very often, Avos de Rabbi Nasan adds examples and stories that deepen our appreciation of Pirkei Avos and our application to our lives. Who composed Avos de Rabbi Nasan? It is unclear. Some say it was compiled by the Tana, Rabbi Nasan, an older contemporary of Rebbe. Rebbe was the redactor of the Mishnah. So who exactly composed it? We're not sure. Because it's called Avos de Rabbi Nasan, some hold it was composed by Rabbi Nasan, the Tana. It was an older contemporary of Rabbi. In any event, many of the brisos, the teachings of Avos de Rabbi Nasan, are cited and expounded in the Gemara itself, and furthermore, are cited by the Rishonim, such as the Rambam, Machzor Vichu, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Meiri, and their commentary on Mishnah Avos. So here we go. What does Avos de Rabbi Nasan teach in regard to the Mishnah that we are focusing on this evening? Hu haya omer, and again, remember, like we just quoted, Avos de Rabbi Nasan adds additional ha'aros. What was the wording here? It parallels, amplifies, and elaborates many of the themes. Slight change of expression, different formulation, and additional material opens up new vistas of understanding, even though we're not exactly sure who the author of Avos de Rabbi Nasan is. It is clearly a widely accepted work that was even accepted by Chazal and the Rishonim. Hu haya omer. So hu haya omer is Hillel. So this is the teaching from Avos de Rabbi Nasan, okay? Yud Beis Tes. I think that means Perek Yud Beis. I don't know if it means Mishnah Tes. I don't know. It's Perek Yud Beis. Perek Yud Beis Tes. You don't call it Mishnah Tes. It's not a compilation of Mishnah, but Perek Yud Beis, I don't know, Tes. Okay, here we go. Hu haya omer. Hillel used to say, im ein anili mili. That's what the Mishnah says. If I am not now, if I am not for myself, who will be for me? Im ani lo eske b'chayai, mi yiskebi. So similarly to the Bartanura, Avos de Rabbi Nasan teaches, if I do not amass schusim for myself, who will amass schusim for me? Ukisha ani la atzmi ma ani. If I am only to myself in this world, what am I? What does Avos Rabbi Nachman teach? Imani lo zecha ba'atzmi, mi yizke bi ba'atzmi. If I do not bring schusim for myself, who will bring schusim for me? And the footnote explains, and this is very interesting, a slightly different pshat. Okay, im ena nili mili. The footnote explains, this is art scroll. If the person's true identity, which our neshama is our truest identity, does not take possession of his earthly self, if you do not allow your neshama to be in charge of your persona in this world, who will take possession of it? The evil inclination. So understanding this way, what Avos Rabbi Nachman is teaching is, im ein ani li mili, if I am not for myself, who will take possession of me? The answer is, the Yetzer Hara will take possession of you. If you do not control your taivas, if you do not control your weaknesses, if you do not control your vacillations, if you do not control the nisyonos that you find yourself in, someone will step in. It won't be a void. Im ein ani li mili, there's an answer. You know who will be for you and in charge of you? Your Yetzer Hara. Again, if the person's true identity, his soul, does not take possession of his earthly self, if you do not allow your neshama to control the gashmius aspect of workings here, to utilize yourself in the service of God, who will take possession? The evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara. In which case, the person's soul will become the slave rather than the master. And our school footnote is quoting from Magen Avos. So the person's soul will become slave to the Yetzer Hara. And the sources that I brought to you, Rav Binyamin Finkel, the two Chukponi, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, do you think I know a classified Musar Sefer that the Yetzer Hara does not know about? Learn whatever Sefer you're learning and learn it and apply it to your life. The key thing is to stay in the battle. Im ein ani li mili, if I do not work on amassing schusim for me, mili, the Yetzer Hara, will be for you. Thus, Hillel's original statement, "Kusha ani la'atzmi ma'ani," means if I will become subservient to my earthly self. It's very cool. What am I? Listen. Im ein ani li mili, if I do not allow my essence, my ani, my neshama, to control my exterior. Kusha ani la'atzmi ma'ani. When I am la'atzmi, my etzem, once etzem, zod hapam etzem me'atzemai, basar mi basari, lezod dikare isha. Such a beautiful pasuk. Ki mi ish dukacha zod. So beautiful. What's etzem? Etzem is your bones. So, im ein ani li mili, if I do not take possession of myself, if I do not allow my neshama to run the show, who will take possession of me? Ukisha ani la'atzmi. When I allow my physical side of self to be in control, ma'ani, what am I? Very different way of understanding here, according to Avos Rabbi Nachman. If you take control of yourself, that means you allow your neshama to make the decisions, you allow your ruchni side to make the decision, then gishmak, kusha'ani le'atzmi. When I allow my physical self, my yetzer hara, to be in charge of myself in this world, ma'ani, what is the purpose of my existence? If my bones, my atzamot, are what's running the show, representing my physicality, ma'ani, what kind of Eved Hashem can I possibly be if I'm constantly giving in to my gashmistic taivas in this world? Continued, beautiful. Continues Avos Rabbi Nachman, im lo achshav emasai, im ani lo zoche b'chayai, if I do not amass schusim in my life, mi is kebila achar misasi. How am I going to have a schusim for myself? And who's going to do it for me after my death? Art scroll footnote, Magen Avos, merit can only be earned in this world, not in the next world. V'kein hu omer. And now Avos Rabbi Nachman quotes a pasuk from Kohelet, Perek Tes, pasuk Dalet. Ki lakalav chai, you may have heard this pasuk, ki lakalav chai, hu tov min ha'aryeh hamit. What does it mean? Ki lakalav chai, a dog that is alive, kalav chai, excuse me, a dog that is alive, hu tov, is better than min ha'aryeh hamit, better than a dead lion. In life, what's better, a lion or a dog? A dog is considered one of the most lowly creatures, and no offense to anyone who has dogs, I don't mean anything bad, chas v'sham, my children love dogs, but baruch Hashem, their mother's the power to veto. If it was up to the rest of my family, we would have one in this house, so I don't mean any insult. I'm quoting a pasuk from Mishlei. An aryeh is the king of the beasts, Kohelet, not Mishlei. Ki lakalav chai hu tov min ha'aryeh hamit. A living dog is better than a dead lion, but the lion's the king of the beast. How could a dog be better than a lion? So the Avos Rabbi Nachman expounds and explains. Kila Kav, again, I'm still in Yud Beis, Perek Yud Beis, Tes, which is where we have the teaching of Hillel, Im Eina Nili Mili, and Avos Rabbi Nachman is expounding upon this. And now we come to this pasuk from Koheles. A living dog is better, Tov, than a dead lion. Explains Avos Rabbi Nachman. Kila Kalav Chai Hu Tov. What is that? Ready? Surprising teaching. A living dog is better than Zer Rasha Hamiskayim Ba'olam Hazeh. This refers to a wicked person who is existing in this world. Min Ha'aryeh Hamit. So if the Kelev is referring to Rasha'im who are alive, who do you think the Aryeh who are dead are referring to? What did he say? I saw some people saying it. Tzadikim. Did anyone say the Tzadikim? Yeah. Interesting. So obviously Rabbi Nachman says, you know what this pasuk means? A living dog, living Rasha, is better than a dead Tzadik. Kilakav chai hu tov zeh Rasha hamiskayim ba'olam hazeh min ha'aryeh hamet afilu me'avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov shehein shochnei afar. Wow, that's not just any Tzadik. That's pretty unbelievable. A living dog refers to the Rasha, HaMiskayim Ba'olam Hazeh, the wicked who is sustained and living in this world, is better than a dead lion, Afilu Me'avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Shehem Shochnei Afar. They are already lying in the dust. Art Scroll footnote explains, a person who is alive, though he may be wicked, has the opportunity to repent. In fact, on this Mishnah, Rabbi Lau quotes that teaching. I wasn't planning to quote it tonight. Rabbi Lau's teaching on this Mishnah is very long. But as long as we are still alive, you have the possibility. So you might be a Rasha today, but you could be a Tzaddik tomorrow. So as long as you're alive, you have the possibility to change. And you can still gain eternal merit for himself. This is an opportunity no longer available, even to the greatest Tzaddik, once he has passed on. And therefore, Avos Rabbi Nachman teaches and expounds this pasuk from Koheles, that a Rasha who's alive has more potential, you could say, than a dead lion, because he could always change himself. Davar achar, ki lakalav chai hu tov, another thing. Ki lakalav chai, the living dog, it is good. Zer Rasha hamiskayim ba'olam hazeh, im asa teshuvah. So we shouldn't go around thinking that a living Rasha, okay, Avos Rabbi Nachman clarifies, is this befavorous. You shouldn't go around thinking that a living Rasha is a Gantz Tzadik and the Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are Nebuch the Shochrei Afar. That's not what I mean, Chas V'Sham. The clarification is, Zer Rasha HaMiskayim Ba'olam Hazeh, this is referring to a wicked person in this world, Im Asa Teshuvah. Then his capability is greater than someone who has passed on, HaKosh Baruch Hu Mekablehu. Baruch Shalom is always waiting to take us back. The Ribbono Shel Olam always wants to take us back, as long as we're alive. You shouldn't look at other people and think this applies to them. Oy, that person's such a Rasha, but he's a dog, but at least he's alive. If he repents, you have to look at ourselves. Paul Spodek, look what's behind me next to my Lachter. Do you see? So a person should never think they're a write-off. And a person should never think, I'm such a sinner, Hashem doesn't want me back, even if you feel like a dog, because you did something really bad. It's possible. It happens. We insult people. We transgress against God. We do things we don't want to do. Hashem always wants to take you back. Even if you feel like a dog, im asher teshuva kosh baruch mekablehu. And the last line of Avos Rabbi Nachman on this teaching of Hillel is, aval tzadik kevan shemis shuv eino mosiv zchus. The reality is, no matter how great a person is in this world, once a tzadik has died, shuv eino mosiv zchus. It doesn't matter how great he was when he was here. I mean, it does matter, obviously. But the point is that he can no longer amass zechusim, merits and credits for himself. Again, emasai, the aleph is ani, I'm going to die. Mate, double yod, I'm going to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I must be as good as I can be now. So on the one hand, don't check your iPhone to see how much time you spent on your phone. And on the other hand, it's possibly one of the best musar vadim around. All of this reminds me of another teaching from Portraits of Prayer, quoting from the same Sefer. Just going to the page I want to be on. It's right here. I was open to it. So the author writes, that when he goes to daven at the kever of his maternal grandparents in the Bnei Brak cemetery, it's also the place of burial of HaRav Shach Zatzal, the great Panovich Rosh Hashiva. Each time I go there without fail, I am astounded by the spiritual last will and testament of Rav Shach. It is so special and moving. It was engraved on his kever for all who come to visit to see and be inspired. And it really sums up so beautifully all of the teachings that we have seen this evening from the Bar Tanura, we quoted Rav Steinman, Rav Binyamin Finkel, Avastar Rabbi Nasan. What was Rav Shach Zatzal last will and testament, spiritually, so to speak? It reads in part, I ask that those students who know that they benefited from me, whether in Torah or Yiras Hashem or in Midos, they should perform a chesed for my neshama and learn for the elevation of my neshama. So could you think that you could do anything for one of the Gedolei Hador? I should do something for Rav Shach? How could I bring any schusim? The reality is that yes, and that is exactly why we learn Le'ilui Nishmas u'Lezecher Nishmas. And the shiur tonight is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmasa, Ve'ezel Bashmo Shmelka. Why? No matter how great a person is, we have to try and do as much as we can. Even Rav Shach, after his passing, could no longer amass chusim for himself. So I ask that someone should perform for me a chesed for my neshama, learn for the elevation of my neshama, even if only one mishnah. Even just one Musar thought, a Musar thought, that will be my reward. I was Moser Nefesh for the sake of success in Torah study. And therefore, if I'm able to intercede on Shemaimah on your behalf, B'li Neder, I will do so. And the author writes that I was never at the grave of Shach, it's in Bnei Brak Cemetery. I don't know if anyone was there. And he says that this is inscribed on the kever. Although I have had the good fortune, he continues, to come and daven by Rav Shach's kever numerous times, I am very moved. I could not stop thinking of the words of his spiritual testament. Imagine Rav Shach is not just requesting, but practically begging simple people, regular Hamon Am, to do for the God of Hador. Why? Amasai. Because after my Patira, and something we don't like to think about, but nobody gets off this world alive. It's scary. Death, I don't mean death. I was thinking again of the how many hours did you use your iPhone today? Please, if you have gained anything from me, it says, whether some Torah knowledge or perhaps you increased your fear of heaven due to my influence, or even if you improved your character, please do a chesed for me. Learn some Torah as a mirror for my neshama. The God of Adar, Panavish Rosh Hashiva, is asking simple people, even if you learn one Mishnah for me, even if you entertain a thought to be a better Jew, it will be a reward for me. Wow, I thought, the God of Ador, the lion of the generation, is pleading with me, little old me, to learn Torah for him. Then I came to realize the truth of the situation. The truth can be harsh, but it remains the truth. Rav Shach, the God of Ador, the great Rosh Hashiva of Panovich, the Arisha B'Torah, the lion of Torah, who spent every waking moment of life involved in Avodas Hashem, realize that upon death, everything stops. After a person has taken his last breath in this world, quote, he cannot accomplish anything more. The only way a neshama can rise in the next world, and that's why it's so powerful, I should mention that today, my mother-in-law, actually, who's on the shiur, reminded us, I didn't keep track, that today is the 12th anniversary, if you will, of my husband's surgery. And the Hodu Hashem Kitov Kilalam Chasto, Baruch Hashem, he is alive and well, and Hodu Hashem Ad Mei Vesem Shana. So he said to me in the beginning of the week, Thursday is the 12th anniversary since my surgery. Should we sponsor the Thursday night shiur and shul? He goes every night to Rabbi Willick's Thursday night shiur. Should we sponsor Kiddush? Like we'll do a take, you know, take on Kiddush. I said to the truth to my husband, I said, and maybe it's because I'm a teacher of Torah, I don't know. So, you know, I really don't understand. Well, I mean, I just don't understand why people sponsor Kiddush for Aliyah Neshama. If you could sponsor Torah, it's so much more schusim. I said, if you're asking me what I want to do, I don't want to sponsor Kiddush. I want to sponsor the Thursday night shiur in the shul. For me, it's the greatest zchus So my husband said, well, people come, they make a bracha when you sponsor Kiddush for the Linusha. I said, do you think that all those people who are having a really a mind, who are packing the Kiddush, I'm talking about pre-COVID, are actually thinking, I'm not talking about the immediate family members of the Linusha, they're thinking about how much children to cook. I'm sorry. I'm saying me, personally. To me, whatever works for you, works for you. I'd rather sponsor Torah, Zuschus. So we're sponsoring that shiur this evening. What we're learning is that Ad Meiv Ashram Shana, the only way a neshama can rise in the next world and grow closer to Hashem is by Torah learning a mitzvah being performed by others in this world. So when we say Takut to be an Aliyah neshama, it really is not just a saying. Oh, someone just direct messaged me to say, I agree with you. Thank you. So I'm not so crazy. Maybe other people are afraid to say it out loud, but now you know what Michal Horowitz feels. Okay? I personally think that there's a much greater schuss from sponsoring Torah than from people eating. If everyone's being miskave in Aliyah Neshama with my bracha and someone says amen, great. I don't know if everyone's making a bracha. I don't mean to. I heard once Rabbi Shai Shachter say something funny. He said, by Birkas Habanim Friday night, what are you supposed to have in mind? He said, I don't know, but I've seen people blessing their children and they're having nothing in mind. It doesn't look like they have anything in mind. So I think if we're miskaving to learn, as a schus, as a hodah, as an aliyah neshama, it brings tremendous chusim to this world, because what's better schus than Torah? The only way a neshama, going back to this teaching, can rise, based on the inscription of Rav Shach on his kever, can rise in the next world and go closer to Hashem, is by being the impetus and inspiration for Torah learning, and mitzvos being performed by others down here. So when we're alive, im eina nidi midi. However, after, only through someone else's learning. Therefore, Rav Shach, unable, even the Gadol, even the Arisha B'Torah, who cannot accomplish any more in this world, pleads and relies on others to accomplish on his behalf. One second. Okay, so a few people agree with me. Baruch Hashem. Just that I don't feel like. So, like I went out on a limb. And I have to tell you, I love when this happens. I've told you many times. Baruch Hashem, I see such siyata d'shmaya when I'm preparing my shiur. So after prepared Avos Rabbi Nachman, I remembered that in the Sefer Portraits of Prayer, he mentions Rav Shach's kever. I didn't remember the full details, just that Rav Shach asked people to daven for him. You want to know the last paragraph in regard to the teaching of Rav Shach's kever? The pasuk that came to mind at that moment never felt more real. A live dog is better than a dead lion. I am not making this up. Imamish quotes the exact same pasuk from Kohelas that Avos Rabbi Nachman quotes on this teaching of Hillel. Of course, the lion is a much more powerful animal than the dog. In fact, the lion is the most majestic. It's the king of beasts. And yet, even a live dog is better than a dead lion simply because it is alive. There's always the potential to return to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We must constantly be cognizant of the fact that only while we are alive, we can accomplish for ourselves. Im ein ani li, if I do not amass chusim in this world, mi li, who will amass for me? Ukusha ani la'atzmi ma'ani, says the Bartuna, don't think you ever did enough. Don't sit back and rest on your laurels and say, wow, I accomplished so much. Even if you accomplish so much, there's always so much more to accomplish. Kshani la'atzmi ma'ani, the imlo achshav, and if you don't do it when you're in olam hazer, emasai, then when? Because when you get up to the olam ha'emes, you can't anymore. Aleph, ani, mem tav, mate, double yod, I'm going to be standing for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then he's going to say, like we saw an alternative interpretation, based on Avos Rabbi Nachman, were you in charge? Im ein ani li mi, did you let the ani, the neshama, be in charge of your journey in this world? Or, kisha'ani la'atzmi, did you allow your etzem, your atzemot, your bones, your gashmis to be in charge? And if so, ma'ani, what kind of Eved Hashem am I after all? And ultimately, we must remember that as long as we're here, we have the capability. Bimei bacharu, do it when you're young, because bimei zikna, you might not be able to. Don't listen to the two-trick pony. Whenever you feel inspired, grab the opportunity. One second. That's exactly right. Very nice. We put stones on the kever because we are showing that Nifter, we continue to build for you after your patira. So the shir should be taka. I think it has a little more meaning this evening. An aliyah neshama. For for Reza Bas Shmuel Shmalka Allah HaHasham on the occasion of a Yersai 20th Adar. We should never think we can't help those who have passed on to the next world. As great as they were, and a survivor doesn't get more tzaddikus than that, someone who survives and continues to live a legacy of Torah. But nevertheless, after a person passes, and it's going to be shaykh to all of us one day, we can't do for ourselves anymore. And then the Torah learning and the mitzvos and the asiyas mitzvos that we inspire down here, that becomes our new legacy, our new zchus, our new merit. I thank you so much for learning with me. We thank all our past sponsors, our current sponsor, Future. March 18th does not have a sponsor. So if you would like to take a turn, please, it's the last year before Pesach. As a schuss for something, please reach out to me or Miriam Goodman. If you're an online listener and you would like to benefit from these shirim and you would like to take a turn to sponsor, we do need a sponsor for Thursday, March 18th, the Thursday night Mamash Erev Chag, obviously B'dikas Chametz. No shir! I wish you a beautiful, meaning, uplifting Shabbos Kodesh. I thank you all so much, everybody, for joining us. Thank you. Just look at the comments. Thank you so much, everyone. Kol Tov.